The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Clark Brock. He is with the Huron Community Fair. You're president of the Fair Board, right?
President of Fair Board, yep.
And we got the big gun here today. And while we think of fair, you know, late July, early August, things go on at the fairgrounds all year long. Some are events that are brought in. Some the Fair Board actually handles themselves. And this one coming up is a Fair Board itself activity. You've got your Holiday Light Show, second edition going on.
Second edition of the Holiday Light Show. We've talked about it for a few years, thinking it would be a nice thing to do. We appreciate all the things that the community does for the fair, and so we thought it would be nice to do something back for the community. Holidays are kind of a special time for everybody anyway. So a year ago, we kind of tried to put together a little Holiday Light Show, and we're kind of building on it each year.
And how are you doing this year? You had a pretty good turnout the first year. I mean, there were quite a few people that participated, and it was successful in as far as getting numbers of cars going through. So bigger and better this year?
A little bigger, a little more. Between adding a couple more businesses that are coming in, and then, of course, we do some extra things, too. We've added a few pieces, and a little extra feature this year, we have live Christmas trees that we brought in that the FFA chapters have decorated, so we'll have a little added piece there as well.
When you say live, are these ones that have been planted, or are these ones that are live for about as long as the Christmas season, like the one in your house?
Kind of like the one in the house. Actually, a thank you to the Drayback family. I was talking with Heather a couple months ago and said, geez, I'd really like to have some Christmas trees on the fairgrounds for the light show. I'd like to do a tree decorating contest. And Heather said, hey, we've got them out on this property we own. Come on out and cut them down. So
it's like the national Christmas tree
in
Washington, or the ones in Lansing, and that you bring in a beautiful tree, and in this case a number of them, and I believe you had the FFA kids do this, didn't they?
Yep, we did. Joe Ankley, the North Huron advisor, helped me a few weeks ago on a Saturday, and we went out and started wandering through and said, oh my, because they're pretty good-sized trees. And when we got them loaded on the trailer and made multiple trips back, we have five trees there that are about 16 to 18 feet tall. Nice, beautiful spruce trees that we then have fastened in place, and the FFA chapters have been decorating the last few days.
Good to get the kids involved. Anything to do with the fair, especially FFA.
Sure, it's kind of great. Again, as we say, we want to give back to the community some, and my reminder is, it's all free. We don't charge anything, and in fact, as you roll through, there'll probably be a Fair Board member at the little lighted booth handing out candy canes and thanking you for coming through.
You were mentioning just before the show that some people saw the lighted booth and they thought there was going to be, you have to pay. But it is free. There's just someone there to monitor things, basically.
Right. We have someone on the grounds to answer questions, to monitor in the event that a breaker goes or a light set goes off, that we can do some work on it and hand out free candy canes as well. It's absolutely free. Come on in off Soper Road. That's the way to get in. And I guess we probably should say we kick it off Saturday night. This Saturday night, when the Bad Axe Christmas Parade is done, if you swing around, the lights will be on at the fairgrounds. And we run it every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evening through Christmas Eve.
And you basically enter on Soper Road, the very west entrance?
Correct.
Am I thinking correctly?
Correct. The normal fair entrance on Soper Road, the west entrance there, where you typically come in and see the ticket booth setting that sets there. And it'll be lighted a little bit different this year. We're going to have a few more pieces there. And it's basically one straight shot through that you come in and get a chance to see the light displays that are put on by different businesses from the community that have done that. And then you'll drive through and exit out at the Schwamm Road gate at the far end of the fairgrounds by the Beef Barn.
And it's free for people who come through to view it. The people who participate, there is a fee there that helps defray your electric bill and all that other stuff.
Right.
That is, you know, you start putting that many lights on and you watch the meter basically become a gyroscope.
It's not too bad, but yeah, we get a little support from some businesses that help pay that little extra light bill, as well as we've got a little advertising out there. We hope some people see it, but pieces like this, and you'll see it in some of the other advertisings that are there. But our big thing was we wanted to be able to say we thank so much for the work and effort that goes on at the fair and on the fairgrounds the rest of the time. It's a chance for us to say thanks to the community and get that support in that fashion.
Is it too late to get a thing? You want to plan.
December 24th would probably be too late. Any time before that, if somebody said to me, hey, this is cool, this is neat, I didn't know we could do it, I will be on the fairgrounds this afternoon. I will be back on the fairgrounds on Friday afternoon. If somebody is out there listening and says, geez, I didn't know we could do that, we'd still like to get involved. I have spots for half dozen more light displays if they wanted to come in and put them up. So we would certainly work with any group out there or individuals even that is interested, that wanted to. If somebody was just maybe bored on Friday afternoon, we'll be hanging lights. we're gonna try and string the last of them on Friday night. I shouldn't say the last of them, because last year, virtually every week, I found a way to add or tweak or change. So if you went through on the second week and came back on the fourth week, you might see something just a little bit different.
And if they stop out, then you can explain to them the costs and the stuff that you set up.
Sure.
For this, so that
yep.
They're all hunky and or dory as far as getting it properly set up with you folks.
Enjoy the holiday season. We're at this point, we're more about we want the people to see a beautiful light show, and we appreciate all the businesses that do support us and have supported this process and give back to the community. It's a fun thing. I love Christmas.
When you first brought this up last year, the thing that kind of clicked in my mind is it kind of reminded me of my youth and the drive-in theater.
Sure.
Because you got in your car to do an event, and cars were, the new thing and big in the 50s and 60s, and you had drive-ins, you watched a double show, and there's a playground in the front. This is kind of like the same thing you can share with your kids. This is something you do in your car.
It's amazing. It's designed for drive-through. We had a few joggers through last year.
Really?
Occasionally, we had some people. We had a couple people.
You got
that,
weather like this, if we have, you
if,
might.
If we get weather like this, if we happen to get lucky, we had a few people that ask, is it okay if we park our car and walk? Depends on the weather. Last year, there were two nights that we got weathered out. If I will tell anybody out there, if the road commission is saying the roads aren't good, you probably shouldn't be on it. We probably won't light the lights up that night. But otherwise, 6 to 10, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening, there will be a fair board member there with the lights turned on for you to enjoy. It's a nice little cruise through. Wonderful. As you say, bring the kids out. Have fun with them.
You don't have to get cold. You're
no.
Still in your car.
Right.
Heat's on. You can ooh and ah and point
yep.
out what you see, and it's a family thing to do.
It certainly is. It's great. And the thing that we got a lot last year even was we'd have people that say, well, we were just driving into Bad Axe to have supper or something and thought we'd cruise down and take a look. So we had many families and the Christmas shopping, maybe dad dropped mom off to do some shopping and took the kids out for a little half-hour drive through the fairgrounds, and she could pick up a few things. So it just nice event.
And this, because of the way the holidays work out, this is like even through, I believe, Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Right, or through Christmas Eve. I more than likely, if you decide Christmas Eve, you'll probably find my smiling face at the ticket booth, because I think that will be my night that I'll be there.
You were given the duty.
My wife isn't necessarily thrilled with
elf.
isn't necessarily thrilled with me being Christmas Eve there, but we'll get up the next morning and do Christmas at our house. And but yes, right through Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve on Sunday night, we'll be there and it'll be open.
I mean, you could be coming back from a service at 7:30. At 8:30, you stop through there and see the lights, or before.
Getting ready to go to that candlelight service and roll through and see it? Absolutely. You bet.
It's a perfect opportunity to just expand the holidays. People drive around looking at what people do on their houses. These are much bigger on a scale, usually.
On a scale, normally. We have some things that are a little bigger than that. The grandstands get fully lit.
We do have some people.
And the other piece, I would say, we had a number of people who said, you know, we're on our way down to the Nichols light display, and we all know about that one, and it is huge and big and beautiful. But in our case, there's not quite the traffic setting, and you kind of drive through and spread it over that complete distance of the fairgrounds and enjoy it that way.
Now, some places, you know, Nichols perhaps, they have the lights flashing to the music or stuff. Have you gotten to that point with your, or are they more, you know, the lights move, but it's kind of...
We haven't got to setting the whole thing to lights and music, mainly because we have so many different businesses, different individuals that are doing it. And we want them to be unique and individual with their own setup. So rather than trying to sync it as one big piece that is, we want everybody to enjoy the individual parts of it.
So there is no theme other than it's Christmas.
Right.
So you're not, you know, this year like at the parade. It's
no, we're
Whoville
not.
And stuff.
We're
and
not. Have, we haven't
no
got
theme.
To theme in Whoville. We're enjoy the holiday light show, and it is strictly a holiday light show.
Well, terrific. Is this something you heard of elsewhere being done, and the Fair Board thought this would be a good thing, or did somebody just have a brainchild?
Well, I think many of us have been places and seen things. I'll be honest, I had kids that lived in Florida for a number of years, and when we would go down to Florida, it's kind of a big thing there that communities do that. There are streets that have set up with those types of displays. And the Saginaw Fairgrounds has done their Christmas workshop kind of thing for years. And we just kind of had conversation, and Patty Ayer and I kind of thought, Patty, if anybody knows Patty absolutely loves Christmas. And so it was kind of a thought of the community supports us so well during the rest of the year that it's a chance for us to give back. And so that's a piece of why we decided we wanted to do it.
And the other piece is that this fairgrounds are available year-round. It's not just the week of the fair and a few days before to set it all up. I mean, you have other things that go on. There's the camping at times. There's horse shows. There's all kinds of things. And people may not realize just how often that fairgrounds is utilized.
No, they don't. And when I went on the fair board a few years ago, one of the things that I would hear, and we would hear in the community all the time, was, boy, you got such a big, beautiful open space there, but it doesn't get used. There's nothing happening out there. And so we kind of have taken it upon ourselves in the last few years to try and have it utilized much more. In the springtime, we have graduation parties and open houses that take place.
You had a wedding there, didn't you?
We've had three weddings on the fairgrounds in the last 4 years.
I remember we got pictures of one of them, and it was like, oh, my gosh.
Yep, so we've had three different weddings on the grounds. The Lions Club leased from us and had their motorcycle event last June, and they're planning that again this year. We had our Halloween camping activity that we had there this year, which probably is going to become an annual event. We've had conversations with other camp groups that have came in. Over the Labor Day weekend, we had a camp group in. We have a group that's talking about coming next summer, later in the summer, to do a camping event. With our new bathhouse that we're in the process of building right now, it will make our campgrounds much more acceptable and usable year-round.
So they are heated. You were telling me that earlier.
Yeah.
They are heated. So
even
if it's a cool night, it'll be a little less of a jump in and get out real fast type of thing, because it will be a little heat in there.
We had the conversation as we decided about building a new bathhouse. Do we follow the same fair theme that we always have and winterize everything? And our thought was, if we're going to try and make the fairgrounds a year-round accessible facility for different things, we need to make sure that. So that building, once it's completed, will not be winterized. It will be a year-round facility that if you want to do a late fall camping activity, there'll be heated bathhouses. Next year, if you happen to be cruising through on the holiday light show and need that little break, there'll be an open spot for you there.
This year, you have to hold it.
As you cruise through this year, you'll see that the walls are up, the roof is on it. Actually, if you cruise through each week, hopefully you'll see some changes.
Weather permitting.
Supposed to be some concrete poured around the outside of it within the next week or 10 days, and the outside walls will get steel on them probably by the second or third weekend. And so if you come through, you'll see those changes to the bathhouse as well.
Terrific. Now, you've had things like the circus has been there a couple of times in past years. It's been really at the Expo Center, which is kind of county property, but they utilize your property.
The elephants
are out there. I mean, these are they needed the space for the animals and such, and it's a perfect space for this. You got corrals, you've got everything else that they can use.
We do, and we've talked about and try to have some other activities. We're open to people that want to have activities. You talked about summer horse shows that go on.
Mm-hmm. You've got the Handy Riders that utilize it all the time,
right?
Which is a great program for kids.
Right, Handy Riders are there. We do early in the spring a jackpot show for kids to bring in livestock and show at the fairgrounds as well. So we continue to try and expand and have more activities, more things for the community. We need to. People don't think about the fact that as we expand and get those big, beautiful buildings that we have there
that are heated year-round,
that may be heated year-round, that are nice, that you have to insure because of that, and you carry the different insurances and you pay the different pieces, that it becomes much more expensive to operate the fairgrounds as well. So,
well, I would imagine just because you're a public venue, liability is a big insurance matter too. It's not just the property. I mean, you've got nice property you have to protect,
right?
But you know, things go on there, and a lot of times there's animals around, and you got to cover yourself six ways to Sunday.
They do, and as you have more value in things, all of those costs go up. The insurance costs, the liability insurance, and those kinds of things all go up. And I shudder about three times a year when those insurance bills roll through, and we have to pay them. And we know that the week of the fair doesn't pay those bills. So that's why we have to do some of the other activities and things as well. But that being said, the Holiday Light Show is not about collecting money. It's about people enjoying. Now, if somebody wants to make donations to that, we certainly won't turn any money away. But that's not what it's about at all. It's about the holiday season and enjoying that activity.
And some of these extra events that you do necessitate changing some of the amenities at the fairgrounds. You do the camping weekends, and you're looking at maybe getting more campsites, means you need more power, which means there are things that you just that aren't free.
Right, absolutely. We are currently overbooked on our campsites for fair week, and we're in the process of having a plan that we can put some more campsites in as well. And as you say,
you don't need everybody plugging in something at the same time and blows a fuse or something.
Craig, you and I always chat. Usually we have the conversation the week before the fair about, so what's going to happen fair week? And the one conversation we always get to is weather. And camping at the fairgrounds is fabulous in 70 and 80 degree weather. When the weather gets to be 90 degrees and everybody thinks every air conditioner should be running, the transformers kind of complain about that a little bit. So we're hoping
the trailers are cool, the transformers are heating.
yeah, very much so. So we're hoping that we're able to afford, with a little upgrade to some camping, to be able to alleviate some of that problem as well. But as you say, it's an expensive proposition, and we have to work hard all year round. We'll have our big February event come up too. That's our February fundraiser that we hold at the Knights of Columbus. That's a fun night, and it's a fundraiser. It's about us making money to pay the bills.
Now, it sounds to me like next year you may be taking the fund balance down a little bit, because you got a big anniversary coming up for the Huron Community Fair.
It's huge for us. We have officially entered our 150th year. We will celebrate the 150th continuous operation of the Huron Community Fair.
Is that unusual, the continuous part?
Yeah.
Because a lot of places, you know, during the wars and stuff, things
right.
things got sidetracked and, you know, well, we don't have the funds or we can't do this or all of the guys are off.
Right.
You know? And but we were able to continue at least some portion of the fair
right.
during those rough years. So it is
yeah, continuous. You even go back into the, you know, like you say, the 20s, the Depression time and that, and the Huron Community Fair continued on in a fashion. To our knowledge and all the research that we have done, we believe that we are the oldest continuous running fair in the state of Michigan. And it will be 150 years. Which
Susquecentennial.
Susquecentennial, yes, very good. So we do have a few extra pieces. If anybody is out there, business or whatever, that says, gee, we'd like to sponsor something special at the 150th, we're wide open for that. We're going to try and do a blend of some new and some old. There will be a fireworks show.
That is uncommon for the fair.
Very uncommon for us. It's something that we have never approached or never considered before. But
is there difficulty in that? Usually these things take room to set up, and you kind of utilize pretty much all the fairgrounds at the time.
Well, I guess I should say this. We're planning on a fireworks show. We have the spot and the place all set. I'm not sure that the permits and everything are quite in place yet, but... we do plan on that. I didn't necessarily say the fireworks are going off on the fairgrounds,
okay.
but there will be a fireworks show in the plans and in the works. Okay. We're bringing back a few things from years past. When I first moved up here, back in the early 80s, back in the early 80s, Demolition Derby was highlight of the fair. And there will be a night this year that is dedicated back to it. It was local.
Guys had their own,
right.
you know, beat-up vehicle. They took time to put their name on it and their organization or whatever,
well,
their numbers, and away they'd go and bang them up. And
those old station wagons could beat on people for a long time and keep going, and it was. But we're going to have one night dedicated completely to that. There's another event.
Is still going to be local?
You're
going to be looking for people
oh, yes.
who want to participate.
Yep, locals. Yep, primarily locals. I mean, today, local expense.
Because it isn't
right.
that common anymore,
right.
but you're looking to allow the local people an opportunity again to
yep.
to relive their childhood.
We are. And then it goes well before my time at the fair, but in the day they used to have tug-of-war contests down in front of grandstands. And we're going to bring the tug-of-war contest back.
Is this the one with a mud pit in the middle?
No, it's not.
Oh.
This is a straight-up tug-of-war. And the difference that they tell me when they used to do it, and we're going to try and put the aspect back in, is it's pounds of team, not members.
So you weigh the
team.
Oh.
So what you have is you have a certain amount of weight, and the team can't weigh over that much weight. And so you have to determine what you think is your best strategy of a team to be in that situation.
So if they look really huge and you find out they've got helium balloons under their shirts to try and lift them off the ground a bit.
probably not so good. But that's a piece that we're going to try, and we're going to bring that back for this year to have a little fun and something different. We are also looking for, and if anybody, and I know there are tons of people out there that have it, we're going to dedicate... a third to a half of the Merchants Building towards fair memorabilia.
Oh.
So
to have kind of a review of...
A review and a history. Yep. So if you happen over the holidays to be visiting Grandma, and you get up in that attic, and you find some of those old pictures or plaques or banners or advertising things from... the Huron Fair of years ago, we would absolutely love to be able to display it during Fair Week. We've been collecting a few things, but I know that I know because I've had people from time to time show me or tell me some items that they have from that Grand Champion steer of the 20s and 30s or that type of thing. And I know that we get much past that turn of the century. And the pictures aren't necessarily there, but some of the other memorabilia and things are.
And would some of them maybe say Huron County Fair, because we came Community Fair,
right?
Not at the beginning. It progressed into that. So some of the older stuff might be able to be dated because of the
dated based on how it's written, and they might also be dated based on where the fair was, because the fair has not always been in Bad Axe.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that. I kind of thought the fairgrounds was, you know, maybe expanded through the years, but it had been in the county seat. But the county seat wasn't always Bad Axe either.
That's true. And I would tell you this, that I have had people show me pictures and signage, and I'm not gonna expand too much on it. But the Huron Fair was not always in Bad Axe. It's been in other areas of the county as well.
Okay, are you looking at this type of event if there are photos and stuff on there, that if people recognize someone, are you going to have someone there who might be able to jot down who these people are? Because a lot of times you find a vintage photo and you haven't a clue who most of these people are. And if you get enough of a crowd going through, you can say, well, that was, you know, Great Uncle Harry or something,
right?
You know, that you can kind of get some names and really add to the history.
Absolutely. We'd love to do that. And we're hoping that as we get some of that out, and you talk about that, those pictures and things that aren't. I was with my mother just a week or so ago, and she was commenting on the same thing. My mom turned 88 a few weeks ago, and she was commenting on the pictures and some of the pictures that aren't labeled. And I said, yeah, when someone took those pictures, everybody knew who was in the picture because they took it. So we didn't need to write a name on it because everybody knew who was in the picture. Now when you get to be 60, 70, 80, 90 years later, most of those people may not even still be with us, and we may not recognize them. So, I would absolutely know that there are some people in this county that could look at some of those old pictures and say, well, that was Uncle Bill who had this, and
that was his tractor. I remember he had that kind of tractor. He was the first one in the area to have it or something.
I remember he had that old Fordson that he did this with, or the old Moline, or whatever the case was. So, yeah, we would love to be able to bring some of that. And we really hope that we can set that up in the Merchants Building and people will wander through and have those kinds of conversations as well. That was the neighbor that lived down the road, and I remember showing against him and could never beat him at the fair, or, you know, those kinds of things.
And you'll be amazed when you look at pictures of them on the road and there are no power lines, because that is, compared to the fair, a modern amenity.
Well, it's interesting. We have some rather dated pictures of the fair as well, and the old buildings that were there aren't, but there were an awful lot of the old canvas colored tents that were out for the fair at years, and of course I find it interesting to look at the not just the clothing styles, but the cars and the difference of the equipment and the midway change and that kind of thing.
You might even notice the animals are different. I mean, we've bred animals to be bigger, stockier, you know, whatever
tremendously different looking animals. Yes.
And the animals you look at, these might have been champions, but looking at them side by side, today's champions, it'd be like, well, that's a skinny little thing, but
it's what was there in that day.
And the breeding wasn't quite there yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a walk back in history.
It is. And we would love to have that as part when we celebrate 150 years. I'd love to get some 100-year-old history at least that's there and be able to do some of that and spend some time chatting with some of the elder statesmen of our county about some of those things.
Now, if people think they have something, should they just basically, you know, email a picture of it to the fair board? Because I mean, you don't have time to run around to everybody's farm who thinks they have something.
Right.
You're going to want to see a little picture of it and see, oh, that's interesting. Maybe we need to look at it, because, you know, you could have 5-6 people doing this all day long.
Right. We could. Stacy Hagen is going to kind of head that up for us. She's in charge of our merchant building and is going to head that up. We have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
If people are so inclined as to follow Facebook and have that, we have that, and would love to have some pictures of things that are put there that would help us with that. Could contact Stacy. I think my phone number is all over everything going in anyway, so contact me if you have something, and we'll get somebody that would take a look. And I know that some people will be a little cautious about some of those things. We want it to be secure and safe.
Because these may be heirlooms.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to lose them, and they may not be just ready to donate them to the fair, but for a 150th year celebration,
right.
They might, you know, have the picture or the item there, and it'll say, courtesy of.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're not looking, we're not asking people to give us
all of this. You're not trying to build a museum.
No, I'm not trying to build a museum. I'm looking for our 150th to be able to have a heritage look back memorabilia of the fair. Now, if people were so inclined as to go in that direction, we ended up there. I'm not saying that we're not interested in a museum of the fair, but for the 150th, we're trying to get a historical look back at the fair from days gone by.
And you may scan a picture or something so you have it historically in your archive, for
right.
the 200th, when these people may not be around.
Sure.
And because you can't go back only as far as things exist. And,
right.
And if you can hold on to an image or whatever, then you've got that going forward.
You do. Mark Green has been a wonderful asset to us in terms of that. He has, over the years, had people come to him and collect it and has some of that type of thing. And I think he would also be a resource in terms of perhaps if you have some of that older photographic type thing that you really want to hold on to, he's a great person in terms of how can you preserve it and display it or copy to display it.
Because light and some of the old photographs just do not go hand in
right.
hand. They fade out or they get funky in the colors and such. Most of the older pictures will be black and white anyway.
Sure.
But they'll lose their contrast or they'll get a brown hue to them or something.
Right.
Because the chemicals weren't as good back then. We didn't have all the knowledge. We were a work in progress in trying to record our history that way.
Yeah, or we go back into the 60s and 70s and we had those Polaroids that, even the color pictures faded pretty bad if they weren't kept care of. So yeah, there's lots of things there, but those are all pieces that we were hoping. There'll be a few other little surprises and tweaks as we go through the week as well. We don't want to let everything out ahead of time too far, but and of course I will assure you this, Craig, we're going to have beautiful weather for Fair Week for our 150th. That's just given.
Yeah, you say that so confidently. Most people I know say it isn't the fair if it doesn't rain at least one day or two.
Well, that's beautiful weather for the fair. So we will have beautiful, great weather for the week of the fair, and we'll all enjoy it immensely. More kids, more animals, more pictures, more things, still exhibits, and more people.
Okay. Are you going to try and get some sort of state designation that you're 150th? I mean, I think our lawmakers might be able to do something. If it is, in fact, the oldest continuous, that's a milestone.
We're just kind of finished wrapping up the 149th,
getting the bills paid
and getting a few of those things and pretty much have that. So as we move through the next couple of months, we'll be looking at how do we formalize some of those. I would hope that we will have some type of official designation of the 150th. Maybe we'll have a plaque or something that will be someplace.
Maybe one of those green historical markers.
Perhaps we can do something like that. It'll
say, current site of the fair.
Right.
It has been other places.
Right.
But, I mean, it is a historical moment. I mean, if 150 years, not much less 150 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, in this country today, you're right. We could go to Europe and they would say, 150 years, why are you even?
My house is that old.
Yeah, but there aren't many things here that we can talk about 150 years of existence, so we're pretty excited about that. And
that is still going and thriving.
Still going and thriving and growing. Yeah, so we are excited about that. If you're out and about and see, our 150th anniversary t-shirt is a little different this year. We've changed our theme, and it's pink this year, so we want everybody to see that bright pink shirt and know that that's part of the 150th celebration.
Terrific. But again, coming up this Saturday, you start the
Holiday Light Show
at the fairgrounds. And tell again people how they can, when they can go.
So starting when the parade is over in Bad Axe, the Christmas parade of Bad Axe, when Santa passes through the other end of town and that's done, the lights will go on at the fairground. Come on down to Soper Road, the west entrance of the fairgrounds. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evening, starting with Saturday the 25th, which is this Saturday at the end of the Christmas parade, we will be there. We will have it open, and it will be lit up. Lit up like a Christmas tree. The whole fairgrounds lit up like a Christmas tree. I would not even want to count the number of lights and bulbs and watts that are being cranked on a number of different meters at a time.
But again, it starts this weekend. It runs every weekend through Christmas. Good time to take your family, friends, and get into the car. Keep warm and enjoy a nice holiday light show here in Bad Axe
for
absolutely nothing.
It's no
free.
Cost.
Don't be afraid of the guy in the booth. He's
right.
Just there monitoring to make sure people get through right. He's not there. And maybe give you a candy cane
or so. Candy cane. And realistically, the other piece we do there is we count. We like to have an idea how many people are coming through.
Well, that lets you know if this is working for you.
Yep, if it's successful or not. Maybe we don't need to run it every night if we don't have people through.
Well, hopefully you have a great turnout again this year and you light up the south end of Bad Axe where the people can't go to bed till 11 o'clock.
we know we're going to have a great time.
Glow south of town.
Yep. Yeah. Based on last year, I know people are going to have a good time and come out and enjoy it, and that's all we want.
Well, thanks for being with us. And again, if people are interested in participating, you'll be out there later today and on Friday. They
yep.
can contact you, and maybe not yet for this weekend, but for a future weekend, they may get their display up as well.
It's never too late. Never too late till December 24th to put a light display there. So if somebody's interested in doing that, we'd gladly add more.
And if they have questions, go to your Huron Community Fair Facebook page. There's phone numbers and other things that they can contact people and get
right.
more info.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us. I hope you get a great turnout.
Thank you, Craig. I'm sure we will. And I guess happy Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and Merry Christmas.
All in one shot.
All in one shot.
Our guest today on the program has been Clark Brock. He's the president of the Huron Community Fair Board. Again, the Christmas Light Show, second year. It was getting a little bit bigger than last year and new displays. Just stop on out at the fairgrounds Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday nights starting this Saturday right after the Christmas parade. On through Christmas Eve. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.